Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Your place of Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, and compassion. Please join us now for our devotion. We ask that Dr. Nix could sing a song and read the scripture for tonight, and I will lead us in prayer.
I'd like to sing, "You Look Beyond My Faults and Saw My Needs." Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary. To you the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Truly, I'm glad that God looks beyond my faults and sees my needs. Our scripture is taken from Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. And I'm reading for the New International Reader's Version. I don't understand what I do. I don't do what I want to do. Instead, I do what I hate to do. I do what I don't want to do, so I agree that the law is good. As it is, I am no longer the one who does these things. It is sin living in me that does them. I know there is nothing good in my sinful nature. I want to do what is good, but I can't. I don't do the good things I want to do. I keep on doing the evil things I don't want to do. I do what I don't want to do, but I am not really the one who is doing it. It is sin living in me. Here is the law I find working in me. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Inside me, I find joy in God's law. But I see another law working in the parts of my body. It fights against the law of my mind. It makes me a prisoner of the law of sin. That law controls the parts of my body. What a terrible failure I am. Who will save me from this sin that brings death to my body? I give thanks to God. He will do it through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in my mind, I am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, I am a slave to the law of sin. Truly, God adds a blessing to the reading of His Word. Dr. Susie, are you online? Let us
yes,
pray.
Yes, I'm God, online. I don't know why. I don't know why I couldn't hear me, but God, we come before you, and we just thank you, and we glorify you. We ask a special blessing for this day. We know, God, that this is the last of our meeting tonight about overcoming strongholds, and we know how important it is in all of our lives that we learn this lesson so we don't let the enemy rule in our lives. But we've been coming and what it meant to overcome a stronghold. We talked about what it looked like in our personal life and our family life, and we're just asking that you help reinforce that so that we can be victorious. Lord, we ask that you would send forth the harvest, that you would send those who are willing to work there. And we just ask that our Bible study might multiply and grow, and that people might run saying, what can I do to be saved? What can I do to be a part of sharing this good news? We ask this blessing now in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, as we discussed in the Bible study, you know, we're just glad to have you here with us tonight. We welcome you every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This month, Reverend Dr. James Nooks has been our instructor, and we have been talking about overcoming strongholds. And we dealt with the text from 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, and various other texts as he's led us through the month. We're asking as well right now that Dr. Nooks is going to lead us in our final study on overcoming cultural strongholds. Dr. Nooks, if you're ready to go ahead, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Amen. Our final discussion about strongholds is cultural strongholds. And we have defined strongholds as a state of mind that controls us. It's not necessarily the thing that's done wrong itself, but it's a persuasion, a mindset, a value system, or thought process that hinders our spiritual growth and our ability to exalt Jesus above everything in our lives. So a stronghold prevents us from being the people that God would have us to be. And we can have these strongholds in our personal lives, things like fear, anxiety, low self-esteem. It can be in our cult, in our church, and in our family. Sometimes our families put us down more than anybody else does. Or it can be these secrets that happen in our families that cause us to not want to, cause us to not be able to get along with other people outside of our family, or even within our family. It causes fights and divisions. It can be in our church where certain people do certain things in the church, and it's a stronghold that the church is controlled by certain people instead of by God. And so there's strongholds all around us that prevent us from being the people that God would have us to be. And we need to understand what those strongholds are in order for us to overcome them and ask God to help us to overcome them. Like, for example, if someone's mother died when they were young, like my mother, then that can be an influence over my life if I don't admit that maybe there's something missing from my life because I did not have a mother in raising me. And these strongholds can be fear about failure, about not being what I should be. So I need to go to God and say, God, this is a stronghold that's controlling my life. Will you help me with it? So today we want to talk about culture. And who do we have online, first of all? Can we kind of get a roll call?
I think it's just you and I right now.
Okay. Okay. Well, and there'll probably be others to join us later on. But Dr. Susie, kind of share with us what you think culture is, since we're talking about cultural, overcoming cultural strongholds.
Culture are those norms, values, and traditions of a group. And that's, you know, that's my definition, the norms, values, and traditions of a group.
Okay. And what are some cultures that we have in our world, in our today, that that are influential over people?
What types of culture are influential over people? It depends on if you want to look at, you know, at norms and traditions. Like, for example, in the majority culture of the country, you know, our traditions and values are that men are leaders and women are more, men are assertive or aggressive, acceptable, and women are, if the women act like that, then that's not a part of the tradition. That's not an accepted part of the tradition, generally, because we have stereotypes that support those norms. In our country, we have where, you know, we believe that you get all the Western world way is you make as much money as you can, and enterprises is a positive thing to do. Make your own business, make your own way. Sometimes it's even, I would say, accepted if you know, you do it at the expense of other people. And it may not be a positive trait or part of the tradition or norm, but that's kind of the way that business has a tendency to work. So so the culture is kind of those beliefs, norms, values, customs that, you know, are acquired by the society. And so those are some examples. We go to church on Sunday. That's a norm, a value, a tradition. Some traditions, you have preaching, so that becomes a tradition and a value. Is that a good enough example?
Yes, that's great. That's great. So I think it's interesting that you bring up about the stereotypes and the biases, and we are faced with this in our culture in the United States in a big way, and we've seen it, I think, growing in the division of our country. And I think those are along some cultural norms, and I'd like to also interject that there are biases and stereotypes that drive some of those cultural norms. And they don't necessarily have to be true, but yet they are accepted by many people as stereotypes or defining other people based on that. You know, we have culture where we think that some people are lazy and some people can make money faster than other people. Some people are better in math than other people. And we have these norms, these biases that help shape the minds of people. And when we have biases like that, what does it do to us as a people, as people? Does it help to bring us together more, or does it help to separate us? And I think in some cases, go ahead, Dr. Susie.
No, I'm saying that, you know, the reality is that due to ethnocentrism, which is that people will gather according to likeness, and they then begin to evaluate or to judge based on their particular cultural biases or cultural norms, I should say, cultural norms. And so it makes it difficult, but that's why people group the way they do, and we find that Sunday is the most segregated time of the, you know, that's been that way forever, of you know, the time of the day, the week. And so what we're trying to do, though, is to understand that in our culture, the different types of strongholds that could potentially be are the things that you talked about, could be those biases. And they're conscious and unconscious biases.
Yes. Yeah, and if we go back to our definition a stronghold, a mindset, value system, or thought process that hinders your spiritual growth and your ability to exalt Jesus above everything in your life. So a cultural stronghold can influence our faith, lack thereof. And it can overcome.
I agree.
It can overcome. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm supporting that 100% because what it triggered for me is that a person that would have a bias, specifically if one's bias is not unconscious but a conscious bias, and we don't choose to submit to what we know that the Word says, meaning that we're supposed to love everybody and treat everybody with respect, and we're Micah 6:8 says this, I require of you to do justice, walk humbly, and be merciful. And so if we aren't doing that and we choose to be in disobedience, that is sin. And that
Amen.
Sin can, as you said, Dr. Nooks, become a stronghold.
Amen.
To your relationship with God.
Amen. And I believe we have these strongholds now, but many of us don't even realize they're there. And they are causing us to not grow spiritually as we should. And just like Susie said, you know, the scripture says that we're supposed to love people. We're supposed to treat people with respect. And yet, I see so often, even in the churches, we don't do that. I mean, there are some people that are treated better than other people. There are some races that are treated better than other races. There are some ethnocentric groups that are treated better than other ethnocentric groups. And so if we are not treating people with love and respect, then we have a stronghold of racism or disrespect that is in our country that needs to be overcome. So I want us to talk about and think about those cultural biases or cultural strongholds that are active in our lives today. And I want us to reread the text that we had in from Romans 7:15-25.
Romans 7:15-25.
Well, yeah, Romans 7:15-25.
Do you mind if you want me? Would you like me to read it?
Yes, that would be wonderful.
I can do that. Okay. Romans 7:15-25. I'll be reading from the NIV version. Romans 7:15-25 says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good as it is. It is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that it is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin.
Amen. Amen. So Paul is giving us a picture of strongholds. And when he says in Romans 12, you know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here we see Paul at war. And Dr. Susie, what does this text say to you regarding strongholds, cultural strongholds?
Well, this is very adamant in talking about the fact that even when we want it, you know, when we want to do good, evil is always present. And we have to be conscious of knowing that within us is the potential to put something in our lives that hinder us from our relationship with God. You know, here it is that we don't want to do that which is not good, but yet we will do it. And when we do that, that sin is what causes us to be separated and from God. And
amen. Amen. So, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, our country and division in our country and perhaps the church, people in the church not acting the way that they should regarding, you know, regarding treating other people with love and respect. And here we find Paul saying that he does things that he doesn't want to do, and the things that he wants to do, he can't do them. And then he says that there's a war going on. It's no longer him, but the sin that lives inside of him. Now, can you see that a stronghold influences us to have some of these thoughts and ideas that are contrary to God? And it's living, if we allow it to take up residence inside of us and influence our minds. And what God is saying to us is that we need to overcome. We need to overcome these strongholds that are doing that. So I want to go to another text that is very familiar to us, and that is in Ephesians 6:10-20. Ephesians 6:10-20. Because when we say that it's the sin that's living inside of us, we're being influenced. Our minds are being influenced. Our bodies are being influenced. The things that would pull us away from God. And Satan is smart. And Satan puts upon us or impresses upon our minds the things that pull us away from God. If we're thinking about God, then all of a sudden something comes into our mind that pulls us away. We might get angry because somebody pulls out in front of us. We might see some picture of pornography. We might see something that causes us to lust or to strike out or feel anger or feel grief or feel, you know, something that pulls us away from God. And this is what Paul is saying, that we need to war against. But we can't war against those things by ourselves. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" And it's, I thank God through Jesus Christ. So we find deliverance through our relationship with Jesus Christ. But if we don't ever recognize that we need help and we don't call on God. So, you know, my prayer is that we would recognize these strongholds. I pray for a recognition spirit to flow throughout our country, that we would recognize the influences that are on our lives, to think about sometimes, why am I thinking this way? What is causing me to be angry at that person that I don't even know?
Well, yeah.
And making me feel like I can't even be in the room with them. You know, I'm feeling all uptight. And what is that that causes me to feel all uptight because I'm sitting in a room with somebody that doesn't look like me or somebody that's from a different culture than me? And Satan is sitting back there laughing because we can't even sit in a room without feeling some anger or feeling fear, feeling like we're going to be attacked. These are strongholds, cultural strongholds.
Amen.
That need to be overcome. So I want us to look at Ephesians 6:10-20. Go ahead, Dr. Susan.
No, I was just going to ask you, could I read it from a different version?
Absolutely.
I had the New Living Version of Ephesians 6:10-20. It says, the final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you would be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Well, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should.
Amen. Amen. So Paul has a final word. Be strong in the Lord. And it is mighty power. And what are we fighting against? You know. And I know we've heard this so often, we don't fight against flesh and blood. But we fight against evil roots. Go ahead, Doctor.
No, I said principalities and wickedness in high places. We fight against, you know, that which would create strongholds, keep us separate
Amen.
Away from God.
Amen. Amen. And that's so enlightening when we realize that Satan is manipulating our minds to be influenced by these strongholds, the things that we long for, or the things that hurt us, or the things that cause an emotional and a physical response. We can make ourselves sick, and we can sit up and separate ourselves from people because of a thought, because of an influence, because we believe that this group, this culture is against me, so therefore all of them are against me. So I'm afraid when I come in your presence because I feel like you're trying to attack me. Your thoughts are against me. Or we can feel like I'm so low because my culture has told me that I'm the lowest person on the totem pole. So therefore, I don't feel that I have power anymore. I never had power. I'm less than. I'm not good enough to be in your presence. You know, and God is saying that we're a royal priesthood. We're a peculiar people. We're special people. You are so special, in fact, that I'm willing to give my life for you. But so many of us, we are influenced by culture into believing that we're not good enough. And God is saying you are good enough. You are so good. I'm so concerned about you. I love you so much that I'm willing to die for you. But can't you see how Satan manipulates and puts strongholds in our lives and just causes so much division and fear and retreat and causes us not to use our gifts that God has given us because we don't feel like we're good enough, or we can't use them in this atmosphere. And I know I'm talking on and on and on, but Dr. Susie,
but you're absolutely right, Dr. Nuss. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
You know, and I'm so concerned because God has given the church, given this world, so many gifts. And our cultural strongholds hold us back. I mean, you got cultural strongholds of ageism in the church. You got the older folks that feel a certain way, and you got younger folks that feel a certain way, and middle-aged folks that feel a certain way. We got certain songs we like. We got certain preaching we like. We got certain praise and worship. Some people don't like praise and worship. These are cultural norms, cultural strongholds that I can't worship
but
with you.
Know,
go ahead, Dr. Seuss.
And that's amazing, the Dr. Nooks, that if people will stop coming to church because they don't play my music. They don't
yes.
sing my song. They
Amen.
Didn't let me do it the way I want to. You know,
yep.
And that, you know, just because, you know, they use the song that they used to sing years ago, and, you know, especially the hymns, and the young people don't like the hymns. Or they sing them hymns all the time, and they never, you know, sing any of the new, you know, Kirk Franklin or Fred Hammond music, and so as a result, they're not going to participate. And I think that that is exactly what's going on, that scripture where it talks about how the principalities and wickedness in high places are creating, are sending fiery darts.
Amen. Amen. So these things separate us. And you know, it would just be good if we could sit down and say, yes, you have different likes, but I love you enough that it's not going to prevent me from worshiping with you. Let's sit down and work out how we can worship together. But it's like we go to our corners, and one of the greatest cultural strongholds is race in the church. The way the different races worship and how we have a hard time worshiping together and even working together, the different races. The Dr. Susie,
well,
have you noticed?
And you could break that down to denominational stereotypes even then.
Yes,
Nuss.
Absolutely.
You know, you
yes.
don't have to look at race. You can look at denominations. Where one denomination feels that, you know, if you don't sing or use a pipe organ, then, you know, you're low class, or you're no class, or you're not elite, or you're not, you know, really doing church. So, I mean, it's so many different things that the enemy tries to use to separate us. So many. You know, the stereotypes that, oh, the Baptist church got to have a bunch of praising and clapping the hands. And so you can't, some people are like, oh, I can't go because that's too much emotionalism. And then you go, some folks that are of the Baptist persuasion might go to a Presbyterian church or a church that's stereotypically quiet and say, you know, they don't, you know, really are authentic in showing their emotions. So, I mean, we have these cultural norms and values that we are raised with and brought up with that create division. They and become strongholds if we let them, or can become.
Amen. Amen. And those are the kind of things that we pray that we can recognize and then ask God to help us to overcome. One of the saddest things, and Dr. Susie pointed out, is the difference between denominations, and then you throw in race on top of that. So a black Baptist church and a white Baptist church very seldom will worship together. And I think Dr. Susie said earlier that the hour on Sunday morning or the 2 hours on Sunday morning are the most segregated times of the week. And that's sad. And then we're talking about those things that separate us from God. And that separates us from God, because God never intends for us to be separated like that. I can't imagine that God would ever say, I want the white people to go to church together, and I want the black people to go to church together. I want the Hispanic people to go to church together. I want the Native American people to have their worship together.
Even more so, and Dr. Nuss, even more so that I want people who don't want music in the church to worship together versus people who do want music in the church. You know,
yeah.
I don't think that music and certain things are salvific. You know, the Bible tells us not to argue and fight over things that aren't salvific. It's just not going to save nobody. You know, if it's, you know, we need to understand what is important. And what's important is that people have that relationship with God, that we let nothing get in the way of that relationship and having that relationship.
Amen. So I want us to look at another text and still remembering about cultural.
If you let me take a second, Dr. Nuss, I just wanted
what?
To welcome those who joined. I said, if you let me have a second, I just wanted to welcome those who joined the line and to thank you all for being with us tonight and to tell the old radio audience people, if you'd like to call in, our number tonight is 646-478-4932, and if you would like to leave an email for questions, go to drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. Thank you, Dr. Nuss. Go ahead.
Amen. So I want to look at 1 Peter 5:1-11. Who do we have online? Do we have someone online that can read for us this evening? 1 Peter 5:1-11. And we're looking at the idea of cultural strongholds. Those things in culture, in our cultures. Go ahead.
First Peter 5:1-11. Can do that. Any particular translation?
New International Reader's Version, do you have that? Or the?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do have that.
Okay.
So we can do the New International Reader's Version.
Yes.
I have it right here. Okay. I'm going to read 1 Peter 5:1-11. To elders and young men, I'm speaking to the elders among you. I was a witness of Christ's suffering, and I will also share in the glory that is coming, that is going to come. I'm making my appeal to you as one who is an elder together with you. Be shepherds of God's flock, the believers who are under your care. Serve as their leaders. Don't serve them because you have to. Instead, do it because you want to. That's what God wants you to do. Don't do it because you want to get more and more money. Do it because you really want to serve. Don't act as if you were a ruler over those who are under your care. Instead, be examples to the flock. The chief shepherd will come again. Then you will receive the crown of glory. It is a crown that will never fade. Young men, follow the lead of those who are older. All of you, put on a spirit that is free of pride towards each other, as if it were your clothes. She says, God opposes those who are proud, but he gives grace to those who are not. Amen.
Amen. You read through to 11?
I read to 5. I thought you said 1 through 5. I'm sorry.
No, 1
through 5. I can go on. It says, so don't be proud. Put yourselves under God's mighty hand. Then he will honor you at the right time. Turn all your worries over to him because he cares about you. Control yourselves. Be on your guard. Your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion. He prowls around looking for someone to chew up and swallow. Stand up to him. Stand firm in what you believe. For all over the world, you know that your brothers and sisters are going through the same kind of suffering. God always gives you all the grace you need, so you will only have to suffer for a little while. Then God's self will build you up again. God will make you strong and steady. And God has chosen you to share in God's eternal glory because you belong to Christ. Give God the power forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So when we look at cultural strongholds, one great factor, one great stronghold is pride. And wanting to be the boss, king of the hill, the one that everybody looks up to. And what do we hear from 1 Peter about pride?
Amen.
God says, so humble yourself under the mighty power of God.
Amen.
So I just like to ask those online, how
just don't be proud.
How does the stronghold of pride influence our culture in this country? How has it influenced the culture in the United States?
Lord have mercy. Well, I'm not sure we have many people who are talking tonight, Dr. Nooks, but one of the things
okay.
I know is that that's one of the major strongholds in the United States, is that we have people
Amen.
Who are so prideful. I can say that about its leaders. They're so prideful that I think they're. I'm not sure if they're any earthly good. I know they're not any heavenly good. They may not even be any
Lord
earthly
mercy.
Good.
Yeah. Lord have mercy. But
so
for those that are on the line, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't want to cut you off.
No. Go ahead, Doctor. No.
I was just going to say. Can't you see how, and we feel it ourselves, just think of the pride in yourself that can be so strong that it takes over what you feel spiritually and what you feel in your mind. You know, if somebody does something to cause you to think that they're attacking your pride, or that you're not perceived as being the one in charge or the most important one. Even on the basketball court, people would talk trash all the time. And you know, you know good, man, you can't hold me. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's selling. I mean, it's really selling. But I've seen people fight on the basketball court over the issue of pride. And it's a basketball game. It's basketball. I've been at parks. I've played basketball for a long time. And I play in the parks. And I saw a guy go get a baseball bat and start beating up on people because he got beat in a game. And I saw people pull out guns. And of course, I laughed when they pulled the guns out because somebody got mad because somebody beat them in a basketball game. Now, this also affects us in culture when somebody says, you know, I've never done anything wrong. I don't have any reason to apologize. And Dr. Susie was talking about our leaders, and I see this kind of stuff all the time. I guess if people feel like they're strong if they don't have anything to apologize about. Or, go ahead, Dr. Susie.
I recall a story about a man who was being bullied at work because he was doing a great job and his supervisor was jealous. And he actually, you know, went back to work, and after taking this abuse over and over, demotions, mistreatment, he responded in retaliation and took out the supervisor and himself. I mean, it was horrible, but the reality is that pride, that inhumane treatment of another person can be detrimental, you know. And I would say that it is detrimental, even if not just for the beginning times of it, but the repercussions of it as
Amen.
Well.
Amen. Stay alert, verse 8 says, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And this is what we need to understand, is that Satan is trying to devour us. If we could only get that in our minds and understand that we are in a battle, we are in a war, and understand that Satan puts these strongholds in our lives to devour us.
Amen.
And pride and fear and greed. Now, another stronghold in our country is greed.
Amen.
You can't get enough. Nothing is enough. I mean, you get billions of dollars, you want billions more. And you want to cut your workers' salaries and give them minimum wage. And you have billions and keep getting more and more and more. And there's something wrong to me spiritually with the mindset that says I got to have more and more and more, and I don't care if you are successful or you get anything. I mean, it doesn't even make sense that you would think that you are supposed to keep getting, and people that work for you or work in this country are supposed to get less and less and less because they can't buy the product that you're selling. They can't afford it. So you have people, the middle class, disappearing in our country, and you have people, the rich, we're approaching the rich and the poor. And greed is a big factor in that. Now, people can say you're a good business person because you make more and more money for your business. But what are you doing for the people that you employ? And to me, that's a mindset that is pulling us away from what God would have us to be. Because we're supposed to care for one another. We're supposed to love one another. We're not supposed to step on one another and mistreat one another. So, Dr. Susie, what do you have to say about that?
And I agree. I think that's a really serious issue that we have in our country, is specifically of late, is how we have talked about even treating one another, and then how we've responded specifically in our culture with our election, and how we have separated, created division, talked about, mistreated, acted out in ways that do not manifest love. And those, we can't just ignore them. They are strongholds that grow and develop that will keep us from being all that we want to be. You know, not just as America, but just, I mean, when we look at our faith, our relationship with God becomes hindered when we can't walk in love.
Amen. Amen. I have one more text I want us to read. I know it's almost, our time is almost up, but I want us to read James chapter 2, verse 20 through 26. James chapter 2, verses. Huh?
Go ahead and read that.
Okay. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith, even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab, the prostitute, is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. So when we look at the concept of strongholds, cultural strongholds, what is this text saying to us?
Go ahead, Dr. Young.
It's saying that if they have faith, then we ought to do something. There ought to be actions associated with our faith. Faith without works is dead. So if we have strongholds in our lives, then we need to be praying to God, ask God to first of all, expose those strongholds so we can see them. Then ask God to help us to overcome them. Then take action to overcome them. So if we know that we have a problem with a discrimination against women, and we know we do, then ask God to help us to overcome our bias against women and see the wonderful beauty and intelligence and strength and leadership of women. And if we have a problem with different races, then let's take action to overcome our insecurity, our fear, our feeling like we're better than. Some of us feel we're better than another race. We even feel like we're better than people if they are having some problems physically. I see that so often in being a chaplain, a hospice chaplain. I see older people sometimes talk to like they are children or they're incapable of things, and it really upsets them. And we need to respect people and not allow these cultural norms that we have to make us something less than what God would have us to be. So that is my prayer this evening, that we can overcome some of these cultural strongholds to make our world better, to make our neighbors better, to make our own selves better and more presentable to God. What can I do to assist in overcoming cultural strongholds? That's a question. And perhaps Dr. Susie and I are the only ones talking this evening, but Dr. Susie, what do you feel like you could do or our listeners could do to overcome cultural strongholds? Dr. Susan, you're on mute.
Yes. Now go ahead. Go ahead, Dr. Nick.
Okay. What can you do as an individual to overcome cultural strongholds? Understand what the cultural biases are. Go ahead.
I think one of the first things we can do to overcome that is to acknowledge that we do have cultural biases. And
yes.
Until we acknowledge them, we won't be able to do anything about them. And then to reflect to see what different types of biases we have, because all of us have biases. But we need to determine and ask God in our prayer life, Lord, what types of biases do I have? Make those aware to me because of the cultural traditions that, you know, I grew up with that I may not be cognizant of. And then once we have recognized that we have biases, then to help us to acknowledge that verbally, to speak it, to name it, to say what they are, and then set in place a plan to overcome them, because we do not want them to become a hindrance and create strongholds.
Amen. And I agree with everything Dr. Smith said. And we can have other strongholds other than biases, but biases, those are big strongholds in our culture. But we can also have strongholds like fear and feelings of inadequacy, loneliness. These strongholds can affect us culturally, feeling isolated. I think about the Native Americans being moved off of their land and having their land stolen from them, and then being put in situations where they become financially unstable in many cases. Their whole livelihood was taken from them, their culture. Their culture was stolen from them because they were taken off of their land. And so, you know, acknowledging, like Dr. Susie said, what those strongholds are, and then seeking help to overcome them, and then putting in place the steps to try to overcome them. If we know that we are insecure, then what am I going to do to help overcome my insecurity? If I'm afraid, if I'm a minority and I'm afraid around people from majority culture, what can I do to overcome my fear in working with them, of being around them? Because God wants our very best, and the church needs our very best. Our world needs our very best. And God has given us so much. And I want all that God has given us to come out and be used. So our prayer is that we can acknowledge and then take action to overcome these strongholds. And then it doesn't just stop in one time, because we need to be in prayer. We need to continue to work on overcoming them. And just because we overcome something today, tomorrow Satan's going to be busy trying to throw that stronghold up at you again and again and again and again. So we need daily bread. We need daily blessings and prayers, because it's going to be at you every day. So with that, Dr. Susie, I'll turn it over to you for prayer, whatever else that you would like to do. Are you on mute again, Dr. Susie?
Yes. Yes, I was. Okay. It was going automatically to mute. Well, Dr. Nitz, I just wanted to thank you for such an awesome Bible study this month. We're so excited about the blessing that you've given to us as we've been able to deal with the topic of overcoming strongholds. We talked about the first week understanding what strongholds are, overcoming personal strongholds, as well as overcoming family and religious strongholds. And then we talked again about overcoming cultural strongholds. If you will join us next Tuesday again, as we will bring in the new year with a new topic, Christianity 101. So, Dr. Nix, if you will, if you could close us in prayer. And thank you again for such an awesome month of overcoming strongholds. And we will continue to hold these concepts so that we can grow and be more like Christ.
Well, Well, God, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. And we need help, God, in understanding what strongholds are. And help us to see the strongholds that are in our own lives so that we can overcome them with your help. We can't do it by ourselves. And then, God, help us to help others as we struggle to be the people that you would have us to be. We want to lift up people that are sick today, God, and ask for your healing touch, and with your stripes we are healed. We want to lift up to you people that are hurting today for all kinds of reasons, whether it be psychological, social, on the job, people saying evil things,
yeah,
hurting because we hurt somebody else. God, we pray for relief from the pain of hurting today. In Jesus' name, we give it over to you. And then, God, we ask you to help our churches to come together and help your people to see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ and not as objects or something that's different. God, we pray that we can overcome denominational differences. We can overcome racial differences. We can overcome gender differences, God, to be able to work together to lift up and build up your kingdom so that other people can come saying, what must I do to be saved? And they would see loving, kind people and not people that are burdened down with strongholds in their lives. God, we thank you. We thank you for all that you are. God, we don't understand why you love us so much, but we're so glad that you do. And God, we just hope that we can share that love with other people today. Thank you for this Bible study and those that have been participating. And we ask for a special blessing in the lives of people that might hear this, that they might overcome their strongholds on a daily basis. We give it over to you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.